Pastor Dave. Sunday morning, 24th of August, 2025. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. Foundations 4, how do Christians live?
Well, why don't we just bow our heads and ask God, our Heavenly Father, to speak this morning. Let's just pray together. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you might speak to us, that you might talk to our hearts, that we might rejoice and be happy in the Lord Jesus this morning. Amen. Well, if you're just joining us or just come back, just to remind you, we're on the final sermon of our Christian Foundation series this morning. We've been thinking about how Christians live this morning. And I want to start this morning with a challenge for you. So I've got a slide with a number of different people on. So I want you to tell me which one is the judge? Which one is the judge? And tell me. Yeah, top left. That's right. Well done. Which one is the builder? Top right. Yeah, looks like the happiest builder I've ever seen. Which one is the mechanic? Yeah, okay. And which one is the gardener? Okay, and which one is the Christian? Yeah, I'm hearing some, ooh. We can't tell, can we? You can't tell by looking at them whether someone is a Christian or not. That living as a Christian, you don't need special clothes. You don't need a special uniform or a special haircut. But what about if we followed them around for a week or two? We watched what they live. We watched how they spoke then. It would be a bit different, wouldn't it? That actually the longer we spend with someone, the easier it should be to see that Christians are different. That Christians are different. Different in how we spend time and money. Different in how we live. And what we say and what we do. So if we think, how do Christians live? I guess the first answer is differently. That Christians live differently. Now we should be clear. That's not saying that Christians never mess up. That's not saying Christians never live selfishly or never do things wrong. It's not saying that people outside the church are always selfish or never do good things. That's not what the Bible says. No, I'm saying that if we watch the lives of Christians over days and weeks and months and years, we should see that Christians live differently. Christians live differently. Why? Because Christians live for Jesus above everything else. That Christians live for Jesus above everything else. Now we're looking today at three ways that Christians are different. So if you're here today and you would say that you're a Christian, these are three ways that we live. Or maybe if you're here today and you're just come along or you're just thinking about Christian things, here are three ways that being a Christian would change your life. Three ways this would change your life. So here are the three things I'm going to tell you right now. Christians live in the Spirit. Christians live in the Spirit. Christians live in the church. And Christians live in the gospel. And we're going to look at those three in turn. But just before we get into that, a quick reminder of where we've got to. So normally, in this church, we work through a book of the Bible and we'll look through and see what is God saying to us through a whole book. But over the summer, as people have been around and away, we've spent 4 weeks thinking about the foundations of being a Christian. What's the kind of basic starting point of being a Christian? So we looked at the reality that there is a God, that there is a God who is holy and perfect. and who wants a relationship with you and me. And yet this relationship that is broken and cut off because of our sin, our evil within us, and because God is holy. And the hope that this relationship can be restored by Jesus, by his death, taking the punishment for sins, for evil, for wrongdoing. And what do we do? How do we respond? We respond in repenting, so in saying sorry to God. And in believing, in trusting in the Lord Jesus to forgive us. And we believe God's words. That those who trust in Jesus can be forgiven, can be friends once more with God. And we continue day by day, week by week, year by year to live in lives of sorrow and repentance for what we do wrong. And in trusting in God to forgive us. And so what happens if being a Christian changes everything? What does that look like? It is life in the Spirit, life in the church, and life in the gospel. So let's have a look then. Christians live in the Spirit. Christians live in the Spirit. Steve really helpfully brought that out for us, didn't we? That if you're a Christian, if you are a Christian here today, someone who has repented and believed in the Lord Jesus, you do not live life on your own. You do not live life on your own. That the Christian life is God with us, within us, shaping us, changing us, head and heart and actions by the Holy Spirit. That as Christians, we never live lives on our own. The Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus is within us. That every single Christian believer has the Holy Spirit. That he, and it is a he is personal. God's presence within us. God's great gift to us to bring faith and to change hearts. Let me read you again those verses from Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What a wonderful people we would be if we were more like this. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There are no first-class believers with the Spirit and second-class believers without. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Everyone, if you are thinking about being Christian, you are invited to have the Holy Spirit within you. As some of you know, last week we were on a young people's activity camp, and it was brilliant. And the bad news was that about 10 days before the week, we got a phone call from the guy who was going to do the talks. And he had an operation that had gone really badly wrong. And we had to, instead of having a live speaker, we had to watch this series of videos. So we thought, okay, we'll have to make the best of it. And it wasn't quite the same as having a live speaker. But one thing that was really great in these videos was just the excitement of being a Christian and having the Holy Spirit. And I think we take that for granted, just how wonderful it is. That God has given us himself. That God has come and made his home within us. Right there. Every day, every challenge, every opportunity, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. That this call, as we were thinking about, to live lives that are like Jesus, it's not just done by ourselves, it is done with the Holy Spirit within us. But you think, well, okay, great, brilliant. I'll just sit back, I'll pop my feet up, and the Holy Spirit will do all the hard work. That's not what it says, is it? Let me read to you Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act to fulfill his good purposes. Did you see both sides of it there? That we work out, we live our salvation with fear and trembling at the awesomeness of this, that we work hard, it's pleasing to God, in obedience to him. Do you see that side? Seven times the New Testament talks specifically about effort. The effort that we put in to live as Christians. That it requires us to work hard to obey God. And yet, did you see the other side of it? It's not just hard work on our own while God sits up there. It's not hard work thinking, what am I to do? That God is it with us. God is at work within us by his Holy Spirit. I want you to imagine a father and a son. And the father and the son are working together at the same task. And for sure, maybe the son is doing the work. And sometimes it's hard work. And obeying God sometimes is hard work. But the Father is ever present, shaping and leading and guiding and managing so that together beautiful work is done. What does that mean? That being a Christian, that having the Holy Spirit changes how we live. That we live lives of increasing love for obeying God. Increasing distaste at doing the things displeasing to God. That wonderful list of fruit that we read, that we put, and more and more, that the Christian life is not static, but a lovely picture of growing as God is at work, as the Spirit, that we become more like Jesus, more like the most beautiful person there. As the Spirit is at work. Well, where does that look like in practice? Where does the Holy Spirit shape us? How does it work? He shapes us as he speaks to us through the Bible. That Christians have a friendship with God. A relationship with him. What makes a friendship real? It's time together talking and listening. That we are those by the Spirit who listen to God and who talk to him. That we hear from the God of the whole universe as we read his word in the Bible. That we are Bible people. That our lives are based on God's word. On reading it and putting it into practice. And the Holy Spirit makes his words effective. I just want to pause here. For a bit of application. So if you are a part of this church, I think it would help us as a church if we had actual physical Bibles in front of us during the sermon. I think we would find that really helpful as a church. I think it would help us to listen to what God is saying. I think it would help us fit it in context. I think it would help us concentrate. I think it would help the Holy Spirit be at work. Maybe that's something you might think about for church next week. To have the word of God in front of you. Now we could spend longer on that. We could spend longer thinking about listening to God in his word, the Bible, and in prayer. But we're going to spend longer at that in our next Hope Extra. So we do these occasional series reflecting a bit more deeply. And the next one is going to be growing as a Christian. So we were going to do it before the summer, but now we're going to do it Sunday, the 21st of September. We've got an evening thinking about growing as a Christian. How our lives are growing and not static. And if you want to think a bit more about the Holy Spirit, we had a sermon about him in November, so you can look back on YouTube and listen to that. But it is this great encouragement that God is with us. That Christians live in the Spirit. That Christians live in the Spirit. But it's not a solitary life. Okay, it's not just me and the Spirit by ourselves. The second thing is that Christians live in the church.
that Christians live in the church. That the heart and center of being God's people is that we're a people. A people. And right from the start of the Bible, you see, right from God calling Abraham all the way up to the end of the Bible and Revelation, God is creating a people. A beautiful, interconnected, interdependent group of men and women united by the Holy Spirit. That the church is God's people. The church isn't a building. We haven't even got a building. We borrow this building. But we are a church because we are God's people. That it's not a kind of add-on to God's plan. We become a Christian and then we think, maybe I'll get involved in the church. God's plan is his people. God's plan is his people. Let me read Ephesians 3. God's intent was that now, through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. See what he's saying? That God's amazing wisdom is shouted out loud. What, by his plan to save individuals? No, by us. That together we shout out how amazing God is. I mean, amazing though God's plan for your life on its own is. The great wisdom of God is on display together with your brothers and sisters. And lots of you will know that I get excited when it's the summer because what happens in the summer? The Tour de France. I know that was on the tip of your tongue. And it was on the tip of your tongue. I know it was. And I'm pleased to say I've got Becca involved in what's in the Tour de France as well. And every day there's this excitement to see who's going to win that day of the Tour de France. And quite often there'll be a big group of riders and they'll all sort of cross the finish line. But just occasionally, I hope you're taking notes the next time you're watching. Occasionally, you'll get what's called a solo breakaway. And a rider, there's a big grunt of riders, and a rider will go on ahead all on his own to win the race. And it's exciting and dramatic and romantic. One man against the odds. That is the opposite of the Christian life. Can I say that is the opposite of the Christian life? It is not about me. I did it my way. The romance of the kind of lone hero, the lone ranger. God's plan is deep ties of connection and love to our brothers and sisters. God's plan is as a family. A family. That the Christian's life is not you on your own and maybe some people over there cheering you on. It is life as a member of a family. And not just saying, well, I'm a member of God's church around the world. No, no, no. You might be a brother or sister with Christians in Bogota or Borneo, but they're not going to challenge you and love you personally. God's plan is life in a particular church family. To be a beloved member of a specific church. A family of vulnerability and accountability and joy and happiness as we walk life together. I've been reading this book the last couple of weeks called You Can Really Grow. We'll probably look at it a bit more in the Hope Extra, but it's really helpful. I'm going to read a section from it. Okay, I'm going to read a section from it. And here's what he says. Growing as part of the church is so easy. And it is so hard. We just need to spend time together, opening our mouths to speak and eat of Jesus or our Father. Sometimes we'll open our Bible to see something, to read something, show something, check something. Other times we'll pray. We'll do so much with each other. But we are so scared of each other. We fear being inconvenienced. We fear being exposed. We fear being busy. We fear being known. We fear being hurt. We fear being judged. We fear not looking good. We fear saying something silly about Jesus. We fear being honest about something. We fear. We fear because we're sinful. Sin is proud. It is selfish. Since God is family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and since we're made in His image, we long for real, giving, loving community. And we find it, or should find it, in the church. But since we're fallen and often prefer to follow the devil, who has no family and knows no community, we lapse into individualism and consumerism. If you want to grow up as a child of God, you need to trust Him. And He put you in your church. He gave you these brothers and sisters as a blessing. The Lord of all wisdom could have placed you in any church family across the centuries and around the world. He chose this one. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your church involvement? Are you here enough Sundays for that to happen? It's challenging stuff, isn't it? It's challenging stuff. This great opportunity and challenge to be part of this family. And just a brief word about the shape that that life takes. Of course, we're here on Sundays. It starts with commitment to one another. But it starts with baptism and it continues with communion. That baptism is our entry into this new community, the church, recognizing, like we did with Grace, and we said, welcome to this family. Here is life in Jesus. And after baptism, the family meal, communion, that we sit around together as family. Not just a gathering, but a bringing in through baptism and a welcome in this family meal that we live joyfully in the church. And I wonder what that means for you. An invitation to be part of God's family. But these signs, this family, this baptism, communion, is a picture that reminds us Christians live in the gospel. Christians live in the gospel. And I guess this is a summary of the whole series, really. That at the core of the Christian life, at the center of our foundation, we never move on from Jesus' death for our sins. From the Son of God coming to earth, living a perfect life, being killed in the place of His people, being raised up from the dead, suffering and dying so we have hope. And that wonderful truth we never move on from. We never move on from Jesus. We talked about it last week, but I'll say it again, that Christians are those whose lives are daily marked out by repentance and faith. Not I prayed a prayer in the past, but a daily walk of repentance, of confession to God and trust in Jesus' blood to forgive us. That's what it means, that God's good news in Jesus Christ is good news day in, day out, week in, week out. And sometimes we can get a bit confused by this, can't we? That we think that the gospel is like a gate. And you know what a gate is? You open the gate and you go through it. And so we, being a Christian, is like, well, we go through the gate of repenting and believing. I've done that. I've stepped through that gate. And now I'm a Christian. I've done that bit. That's not the way the Bible sees it. It's not a gate to pass through, but a road to walk upon. That we walk upon this road of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Let me read to you from Colossians 2. Since then, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Do you see what he's saying? That the way in is the way on. Just as you received Jesus in repentance and faith, just as the invitation is that you could receive Jesus in repentance and faith, so continue to live. And so that has a number of knock-ons. So it's one reason that we don't have on Sunday two services. So you'll notice we don't have two services. We don't have a service for Christians over here and a service over here for those who wouldn't say they were Christians. Because we all need the same news of Jesus. We all need to be reminded of Jesus' death and to put our trust in him to forgive us. Now, I'm not going to ask you, maybe I will. Okay, I want you to, no, I won't embarrass you. I wonder who here has been a Christian for the longest time. I wonder who's been a Christian. If you're a Christian here, I wonder who's been a Christian the longest. Some of you I know have been a Christian for 2 or 3 years. Some of you maybe 10 or 20 years. Maybe some of you for 60 or 70 or even 80 years. And if that is you, the need and the joy in Jesus is exactly the same. The person who's been a Christian for a few months and the person who's been a Christian for 80 years, the wonderful news is still the same. Jesus has forgiven you. Repent and believe. Remember the joy, if you can, those 60 or 70 or 80 years ago when you found Jesus for the first time. That is a joy for each one of us today. That God still loves you in the Lord Jesus. That God has kept you in his family. That God looks on you with eyes of grace, despite the things we've done wrong. That the rich robes of Jesus' obedience are there, just like they were 10, 20, 30, 50, 80 years ago. Lives overflowing with thankfulness. Isn't that hard sometimes? Real easy to get focused on church service or what is or isn't going right in my life. What I should be doing. And we forget to rejoice in what God has done. That Christians live in the gospel. Friends, the Christian life is not in by grace, on by service. The Christian life is in by grace. What God has done, on by grace. What God has done. Forgiveness is for all of us. We can think of a group of people in the Bible who did lots of good things, can't we? People who paid very particular attention to obeying God. People who tithed their herbs. They were called the Pharisees. They did it all right, but they didn't love God. They didn't live in the gospel. Think about that older brother in the story of the prodigal son. We can do everything right, but not love God. Friends, Christians live in the gospel. And we grow in the gospel. That's what this church is all about. That we are about love. Love for God. For what he's done. Love for one another in his family. Love for those who don't know him. That we worship the God who sent his son. That we grow in obedience and in love. And we speak. That we share this wonderful news with those around us. Because this is what it is to be a Christian. It is life in his spirit. It is life in his people. And it is life in the wonderful gospel of the forgiveness of sins.